our pastor, Brother Chick.
If you're happy that Jesus lives in your heart, let's hear an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you're not asleep on me this evening. Okay. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 22. We have looked about at a lot on the aspect of prayer these last few weeks, months. And we've seen the power of prayer. We've seen proper prayer. We've seen private prayer and the need of prayer and prayer supplying the need. And so many things we've looked at prayer, but yet we haven't looked at one part of prayer I think we need to look at and begin to look at this evening. I'm not going to get done this evening. I don't plan on getting done. If I do, you know we've stayed here till dark. And remember, we got an hour longer tonight of light. So in the book of Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read a couple of verses. I won't be done, but I'll let you sit down because you guys look like you're tired. In the book of Luke chapter 22, I want to begin reading verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Lord, now help us as we look to you again for prayer. Lord, for the examples of prayer. Again, we thank you for the power of prayer. We're so thankful that you are a God that hears our prayer and answers according to our need. And Lord, most important of all, according to your will. Be with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Old Simon had a little bit of trouble. He was saved. He knew Christ the Savior. But in his Christian life, he began to falter and to fail. And you can hide things from your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you can't hide anything from God.
Right.
Just can't do it. Amen. And we're here to serve God. We're here to love God. And at the end, we give answer to God. Amen?
Amen. Right.
Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus said, you know, Peter, I've prayed for you. Let's continue to read. And he said, I tell thee, Peter. Well, let's go to 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Well, we know for a fact, in his heart, he probably meant that at the time. But when it came to action, he fell flat on his face, didn't he? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt deny me thrice. That thou shalt deny thrice that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Christ is bringing back their memory to their remembrance, how he supplies need. They had nothing, and yet God supplied everything for them. Then said he unto them, but now he that has a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell a garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this is that it is written must yet be accomplished in me. And as he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not to temptation. Such an easy request that God makes to his disciples, pray. Not for his prosperity, not for his benefit, but he said, pray that ye may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Prayer was very important in the life of Jesus Christ. He knew from both sides, from the heaven side and from the earth side, the importance of prayer. My friends, there would not be United States of America if it wasn't for prayer. My friends, there wouldn't be a door open in a house of God if it wasn't for prayer. We see the haunts of hell, the workmen of hell trying to stop the preaching of the gospel. They're screaming, God's disciples and God's workers are full of hate. The message they share is full of hate. But we see that their message is full of hate. Amen? Hatred for God. Hatred for the people of God. My friends, we need to pray, and we need to pray often. Jesus is declared our great example. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, would you join me, please? And I'm just setting the groundwork here, and I'm not jumping up and down yet, and I'm not screaming and hollering. And you say, well, it sounds loud to me. No, that's just my regular voice. You say, well, I wish you'd use your inside voice. This is my inside voice. You ought to hear my outside voice. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says this, for even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. You see, he is our example in how we should live our lives. These lives that we live in the times of trouble and struggles and suffering. But also he is our example in all manners of things. And this would include our prayer life. Let's look at a few examples of Christ in prayer on this earth. I can only imagine the prayer time that Jesus had. I know it affected people around him when he prayed. When Jesus prayed, great things happened. I believe today if Christians will get right with God and start praying like they should, great things are going to happen in their individual life. And when great things happen in their individual life, great things will continue to happen in the body of Christ. And in the membership of Bible Baptist Church. Some of you are here today because of prayer. Somebody having love for you and praying for you. Some of you here today, if it wasn't for somebody to have concern and to weep over you in prayer, you might not be saved yet, but somebody did. Prayer is important. Prayer is what helps us get out of bed in the morning. Prayer's what helps us to get back in bed at night, amen? Sometimes I get in bed, I said, Lordy, Lordy, am I ever going to make it there? And I do. Prayer's important during the daytime. Prayer's important when everything's good. Prayer's important when everything seems to fly backwards. Prayer is important for you and I. Jesus Christ prayed. He prayed much. I want to look at one of the prayers of Jesus. If you'll join me now in the book of Luke chapter 3, and I want to point out something that maybe you don't know, and most of you are smarter than I am, so you're going to say, oh man, I've known that for years, and that's good because you are smarter than I am, but perhaps there's somebody here that didn't realize this, and I want to share it with you. But if you'll look with me in the book of Luke chapter 3, and as we see in these verses prior to this verse 21, that John is preaching the gospel of Christ. He's preparing the people to understand, and he went to the Jewish people, and he's telling them that the Savior's coming, the Lamb of God is coming. And as he begins to preach, people flock out into the wilderness to him because it had been 300 to 400 years that they had a prophet in their midst. And let me tell you something. When John the Baptist came to the point of his calling, there was no doubt that he was a prophet of God. You say, what kind of prophet was he? He was that transitional prophet. I tell you what, the people were hungry for it. The people were so sick and tired of the mess of the world and the corruption of the leadership, and they're so tired and frustrated of the lives that they were living. And my friends, today I see the same thing in our lives here as Americans. Aren't you sick and tired of the mumbo jumbo of our leaders? Do you pray for them? Oh, I do. There's some I'm praying God will take them out of office and replace them with somebody who will get in there and pray. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? Oh my goodness. Aren't you tired of life and the way that people do each other? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of how people say, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world. My friends, I'm not a dog. I don't eat on people, and I don't want people to eat on me. Amen? If I'm going to bite, I want to bite the devil. You know? Till my teeth fall out, and then I'm going to gum him to death. You know? Sick of it. I think the world's sick of this kind of lifestyle. You say, but they keep progressing lower and lower. And my friends, as long as God's out of the picture, you're going to see it degress lower and lower. It's only when Jesus Christ comes into a life does it stop degressing and start progressing. You say, oh, that's not true. There are many people that have progress and they don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, they don't progress very long, or do they go as far as God meant for them to go. I remember a story in the Bible of a man who had demons in him. He cleaned his house. And the house he's talking about is his body. And boy, he was slick as a button. He was just as purty as could be. Self-reformation. Turn over a new leaf. But I tell you what, the demon came back and saw the house swept and garnished. And he says, I'm going to tell you something. The end result of that man was worse than its beginning. You see? It's not until Jesus comes in and fills that void in a life do we see the progress. And how is that life filled? The Bible says, for by faith. Amen? For by faith and faith alone. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But with that faith, there's a call of prayer to God Almighty. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Amen? There's prayer involved. And so John came out and he was preaching hard. And I'm telling you something, folks. If you plan on, and some of you men praying about being a preacher, let me tell you something. If you're going to be a preacher and you're not willing to step on people's toes, don't even bother about getting behind the pulpit. Our world is filled with preachers that are afraid to offend somebody. Let me tell you something. When the Word of God says preach it and tell it just like it is, you're going to offend somebody. And most of the time, you're going to offend the preacher when he's studying it. But if it offends the preacher needs to be offended. Right. Amen? That's the way it's got to be. Well, John came, and boy, I tell you what, the people loved it because finally the truth is being told again. Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all those other C's, they didn't like it too much. Oh, let me tell you how much they didn't like it. They didn't like it a whole bunch. It drove them crazy. They were mad. And I'm not talking about, I'm mad at you. I mean, it drove them mad. Their whole life was consumed with the stopping of this preaching. But yet, they feared John because he was a man sent from God. And boy, power he had. Well, he preached Christ is coming. People accept that gospel, Christ is coming. And my friends, they were baptized. He was baptizing them in the River Jordan. Not for their salvation, because of their salvation. You know, they try to make a deal. Well, John's baptism was no good. What do you mean it was no good? It was from God himself. It was good. He's the only man that had authority as a man to baptize. After that, the church got the authority. Amen. And that's the way it's been from that time on. But so he was baptizing, the scripture tells us. Well, Jesus came to him. And he says in verse 21, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, Jesus came. Now this is proof that baptism is not part of your salvation. Because Jesus didn't need to get saved. He was, is, and shall always be salvation. So it is not part of your salvation. But there's something blessed about baptism. It's the first step of obedience. It brings you into the local New Testament church. It makes you part of the bride of Christ. My friends, once you let Jesus come into your heart, God didn't mean you just to stay the family of God. He expects you to become the bride of Christ. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's why we have baptism so often. I don't care if I just have one. I want to make sure that they're part of the bride of Christ. I want to make sure the church is not slacking in their responsibility of seeing people saved and baptized and added to the church. You see, God's church. But notice what he said. And Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Did you know this is the only place that tells us that Jesus was praying at his baptism? Go look at Matthew, Mark, John. Luke's the only one that says he was baptized, then he was praying. You see, every time he got around people, he began to communicate not only to them, but to his Father. He was praying. The Bible says as he was praying, the heavens opened up. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and in thee I am well pleased. Why? Why? Because of the praying. You see, the Holy Ghost descended upon him. I tell you, as the Holy Ghost descended upon him, it removed all doubts, and should have removed all doubts, that John had about Jesus being God. He baptized him, Jesus began to pray, and then the Holy Spirit came down. Can you imagine being there that day? Now, it's not going to happen in tonight's service when we baptize. Why? Because these folks that got saved, the moment they asked Jesus in their heart, the Holy Spirit came in. Amen? But he prayed. Think about it. Luke is the only one that recorded God the Son speaking to God the Father, then God the Holy Spirit came down upon God the Son. Now that is cool. I don't care what you say. That is neat. But Christ showed himself as a man of prayer. And any time Christ prayed, great things happened. Even at the beginning of his ministry. Now, I don't want you to think that Jesus only started praying when he started that ministry. I believe as soon as things went in, God started praying immediately. He prayed from his youth up into his death. And so we see that Christ prayed after being baptized. Number two, Jesus went to pray after spending time with the multitudes. In the book of Luke chapter 5, and I'm being easy with you, aren't I? I'm not taking you out of the chapter book of Luke very often. But in the book of Luke chapter 5, the Bible tells the story of Jesus praying. In this chapter 5, we see that Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, and the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. In verse 3, we see he entered to one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Don't you love Peter when he just was right with God? For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishers. He also, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the son of thunder, amen, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for the cleaning according to Moses' command and for a testimony unto them. But so much more went their fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. In verse 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. My friends, Jesus always said that he was about his Father's business. Jesus went to the individuals, as we read in the first part of this chapter. He came to Simon. When he came to Simon, then he got the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. Then after that happened, he sat down and preached to a group of people. Then after that happened, he came and the multitudes came. And praise God, one of these days, the multitudes are going to come and sit at Jesus' feet again. Amen? Now, it might not be like the same thing that's happening here, but I tell you what, I know this, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I don't care how belligerent they are. They're going to fall and ask for mercy. And for many, mercy had already passed. And the Bible said he did his Father's work. But after he did his father's work, it was time for him to go for a little bit. You know, Jesus had to get away for a little bit to let his flesh recoup. He needed to recuperate. You say, but Brother Chick, he's God. But let me remind you, he was God in human form. How many ever gets tired? Some of you have been praying ever since I've been preaching. The prayer has just gone into your heart so much that you're praying easy as I'm talking right now. Or sleeping, I don't know which. You say, I believe the house of the Lord be a house of prayer, and I go and pray all the time I'm there. Yeah, you go and sleep. That's okay, we got good comfortable seats to sleep in. But he had to go recuperate. But Brother Dan, when he went to recuperate, he just didn't go sleep. His recuperating his body, his recuperating himself was all based around prayer. Around prayer. Sometimes we just have to get away. And I tell you, I think about kids today and young adults today. Oh, we've been so busy at work. I just got to get away. Do we? I feel that way sometimes. I truly do. I think about our forefathers. There was no getting away. They never had a vacation. Vacation is after they got the plowing done and the harvest, the seed in the ground. And after all the wood been chopped and all everything done, they might slip off for a couple of hours and go fishing. And that's just about it. And they didn't go fishing for pleasure. They went fishing because, you know what? They needed some meat to eat. We're a people of leisure. But Christ Jesus got away to recoup. But when he got away, prayer is what he went away with. I tell you what, Christ is our great example. He just had and he wanted to spend time in fellowship with his Father. Prayer will recharge the weary soul. When you come towards the end of the day and you feel stressed out, and I don't know if you remember this, but when we were little kids back in the 60s, we had these trolls. How many remember those trolls? And they had the hair that came up into a point. How many remember that? Well, from that point, they decided to put these little troll heads on pencils. Amen? And so they take this little hair and put it up. Now, Danny, you're way too young, I know, but they put it up in a little point. And what you do is you take that pencil and you go like this. And the hair would just go like this, you know. Say, you know, when I came to work, I was all put together. And when at the end of work, I'm like this, you know, I'm all stressed out, you know. But I tell you what, prayer will bring things back to perspective. Prayer will get our soul back in line where it needs to be. Prayer will take stress and just release it. And my friends today, I would be lying to you if I told you there wasn't stress today. Because there is a lot of stress today. And the stress that we suffer today, a lot of it has to do with just old-fashioned sin. Not maybe our sin that we're doing, but the sin around us. It will stress you out. So he went to recharge the weary soul. Number three, and I'm going to quit with this point tonight. Jesus prayed after fighting Satan's forces and before great meetings. You say, but you see, Brother Chick, that's something wrong because God is God. And he's fought Satan for millenniums. But again, let me remind you, he was in human form. And yes, he is God. But I don't care what you say, that human body was a human body just like yours and mine. If it didn't get sleep, it needed sleep. If it didn't get fed, it needed fed. Amen? If it didn't get water, it needed water because it was a body like ours and had to be so we could have salvation. So Jesus prayed. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says this, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. To pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and one of them, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So after a fight, he prayed. And when he prayed, it was before a great meeting. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, we see he was always being questioned about his authority. And let me tell you something. Don't ever question the authority of Jesus Christ. They are doing it today. Religious leaders are questioning the authority. I was listening to a radio program, and this world is trying to replace God with all sorts of gods, little g. Man, they worship angels. Angels weren't meant to be worshiped. One thought he should, and he ended up on the wrong side of God. Other angels thought they would follow him. They ended up, the Bible says, those angels are locked in the sides of hell, according to Peter. And according to Jude, people say, well, all the devil's angels are loose. None of them are loose. Not one of them are loose except for Satan himself. Well, who are we fighting? You're fighting against unclean spirits. Demons. They're not the same as angels. The only angels that are loose are God's angels. And so in these verses 1 through 5, the Pharisees come and question his authority. He decided him and his 12 were out in the field and they were hungry, and they plucked corn on the Sabbath and began rubbing them together in their hands. One of those little doll deals. Why are you rubbing them together in your hand? Because they want the corn off of it, amen? Now, I don't know if it got hot enough to pop off or not. I don't know. Was that the first popcorn? I don't know. But I tell you, Dan, he was hungry, just like everybody else. Brother Nick, he was hungry. Brother Jake, he was hungry. And they ate. And the Pharisees, oh, what are you doing? You can't do that. He said, what authority did David have to take the showbread that wasn't for him, but only for the priest? Oh, they didn't want to talk bad about David, but they questioned God. We also know that it came to pass that Jesus fought the Pharisees and the scribes again. And you know something about God? He's always one step ahead of everybody else. He said in this verse 6, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Can you imagine anybody trying to find an accusation against God? You can't. People just say today, well, my problems are because of God. No, your problems are because of you having the lack of God. Or it's God that took my loved one from me. God didn't take... It's a process of life, amen? I was dealing with a young man. He was mad at the world because God took his mother. My friends, we all are going to pass the valley of the shadow of death. Even through the rapture. Our bodies, our carcasses are going to die. Well, I've had a bad life and it's God's fault. God had nothing to do with your bad life. Your bad life was decisions that you made. And now you think God shouldn't let you have to pay for it. No, you pay for what you do. You receive reward for what you do. Not just for bad, but for good also. Amen? That's the way it is. And so they're wanting to see. And he was sitting there preaching to them. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. Get in the middle of these people. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it. They're in church. Here's a man with a need. Now let me ask every one of you, is it lawful to do good or to do evil? Is it awful to? Is it right to save a life or destroy a life? You know why those guys couldn't answer? Because they were going to be deemed a hypocrite. Oh, they were the law keepers. Oh, but hey, the law was set up by God. Amen? That was God's law. He's holy every day. And so what happened? They didn't say a word. And he looking around about them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now listen to the reaction. Man, I tell you what, everybody should have been hooping and hollering. I'm not talking about get Pentecostal. I'm talking about you ought to be happy. They should have been happy. When somebody comes and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, I expect the reaction from the brothers and sisters in Christ is to be happy, to be joyful. A sinner is found. One who's lost now belongs to Christ Jesus, safe in the fold, safe in the hands of Jesus. Amen? But oh no, these old pious gas bags. The Bible says in verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. My friends, it shouldn't make you mad when God's doing His work. Some people might, there might even be one or two in our church say, well, I just don't like it. We're growing and we're doing something. And people are getting fired for God. Praise God, it's about time. Well, I just like the size we are. I'm never happy with the size. You can fill this whole place up, and I want to tell you something. I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be satisfied, nor should you be happy or satisfied. When I say happy, I mean in a satisfaction way. I told you we ought to fill this building up 3-4 times over, so we have to have 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9 services. Plain and simple. So what did he do when he's fighting these devils? He went off to pray. We read that tonight. We see that he goes off and prays in this verse 12. Then he goes to a revival meeting. In this verse 17, and he came down as he had been up there praying all night to God. The Bible says in verse 12, and he had his disciples. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples and the great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. My friends, people were flocking to God. They were interested in what he had to say. They wasn't coming to church to see if they could have their bills paid. They came to church to see if they could have their soul's need met. Amen? Josie was out walking today, and one of our ex-people that used to come, and they came, and every time they came, they was wanting some money for something. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, I think they think we can grow money on the trees. And I tell you what, if you ever find a tree that grows money, I think you ought to donate it to the house of God. We will use it wisely. Amen. I think it's funny. People come and ask for money. They find out we're going to give them what the Lord, you know, said. Not the Lord, but the disciples. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give to you. Well, they don't want that. They might not want it, but that's what they need. He said in this verse 17, he came down, the great multitudes were there. Verse 18, they were vexed with unclean spirits. What's the word vexed mean? Yeah. Circle that in your Bible and write in the margin. They were tormented. They were disturbed. Tormented, I think, just tells that they were tormented with these unclean spirits. But they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him. Who? Jesus. This is why Jesus had to go and recharge and refresh himself in prayer to God. They wanted just to touch him. For there went virtue out of him. What's virtue? Circle that word and put power. Power went out of him. And he healed them all. My friends, this is our God. He was a man of same likeness as us. He got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty. But he loved God. And his life was engulfed, surrounded, saturated in prayer. Why? Because of the work that he was called to. Him being our example, our life needs to be engulfed, saturated in prayer. Prepared to do the work that God has called us to do. Any of you that work for a living and work hard for a living, you have problems with those folks who are too lazy. And I'm not talking about medical conditions, but too yellow dog lazy go out and earn their keep. Don't you? Come on, don't you? You say, there's nothing wrong with them. They're just wanting to live off the system. Well, the system's created the monster that we have today. But many Christians that maybe work hard out in the world have become Christians. They're like people today. They don't want to do the work that God's called them to do. They want to sit around and let somebody else do the work for them. My friends, if prayer is like it should be in your life, that prayer is going to cause you to get off the pew. Get on your feet and see great revivals take place, not only in this midst, but in your life. One of the greatest revivals that need to take place in a lot of Christians' lives is themselves. We say this so often, in the middle of revival is one letter, and that letter is a personal letter. That letter is what? With a dot. That letter is I. My friends, Jesus is and was the man of prayer. We need to deem prayer just as important. Because we fight Satan every day. We fight workers of iniquity every day. Say, well, I don't because I don't do anything. You need to start doing something. If you don't fight workers of iniquity every day, then you're fighting. You need to have one good war, and that's with yourself. Amen. And get that person right. Prayed up and working for the Lord. I've got more. We're going to finish next week by the grace of God. I've got more. Next week, we're going to look at another one of his prayers. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for his disciples. God loves people. God loves his people. And while he was on this earth, he prayed for his people. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed.